It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Board YouTube channel for the Tuesday pick and roll episode here. We're back after the weekend off as normal, but also an extra Monday off as well here to give you guys some NBA free picks. Three games on the slate today. Two free picks are going to be coming your way on the show. Get us started by dropping a like, smashing that like button, and make sure you're subscribed to the channel as well. Well, over the course of the show, we'll go through the picks. We'll hear the handicap from Pips. We'll talk about the recap of the previous show's picks. Then we'll talk about the games that we saw yesterday, react to them before we wrap everything up by reminding you about what the picks are for today's show in case anybody missed them along the way. So let's not delay this one. Let's get into the picks that we have here. Just going to get one last check-in to make sure that we have the odds in place for the bets. Both of the plays today are going to be available at BetMGM. The first of the two plays at BetMGM, however, will be superior odds at ESPN Bet if you have access to that sportsbook. We are just going to go with the widely available option of BetMGM as normal for show tracking purposes, to be fair to the audience. So let's get into things here. First of all, we had the thumbnail, and we have a big game today with Joel Embiid as the 76ers take on the New York Knicks. Do or die time for this 76ers team. Can Embiid rise up to the occasion? Well, we certainly hope so. We're going to be taking a minus 110 SGP here. Once again, available at BetMGM. It is better at ESPN Bet. I think it was plus 106 if you have access over there. But it's Embiid, 30-plus points. But we're also going to add in OG Anunoby over 4.5 rebounds. Let's go to the second play here. Also available at BetMGM. The alternate lines are not available for this bet at ESPN Bet at the time that the show is live. However, later in the day, if you're watching, it could be. So make sure you go check that out before placing this wager. But it's minus 120 as of right now at MGM. We're going to take Patrick Beverley under 6.5 rebounds and Andrew Nembhard over 2.5 assists. So maybe a little bit of a peculiar one, but we will certainly hear Pitch's handicap in just a moment here. But let's go back to that first play. Embiid points, Anunoby rebounds. Pips, what do you see for the first play?
It's Embiid in a game where he must perform. He is getting good looks. Last game also, they are okay with him shooting outside the paint. They are giving him good looks outside the paint. Last game, he just didn't hit them. He was, I think, like 30% from the 35% from the field, 36-7 from 19. Game before that, he was 13 from 19. I think the middle is somewhere in 10 from 19 with 10 free throws, which should be enough to cover this line. Also, yeah, I expect this to be like great performance by Embiid. I mean, in this series, they are kind of letting him shoot. They are not doubling him that crazy like some other teams. He just had like first game 29 points, second game 34 points, then game with 50 points, and last game four shooting 27. So he is in that range, like 32 to 35 on like 20 field goal attempts and 10 free throws, 12 free throws. So I think in a game where he'll probably play like 43 minutes, and get a huge volume up in an elimination game. So I expect this to be a good Embiid game. On the other side, Anunoby changed the role. They were first three games, he was defending a point of attack against Maxi. Then they put him on Tobias Harris, and he's roaming off of him. And while as he was roaming off, he was always near the rim to get the rebound. Last game, 15 rebounds on 20, 14 rebounds on 20 rebounding chances. Second on team in rebounding chances, 20. That's a huge number. and we just need 5 rebounds in this one. So yeah, expect Anunoby to cover. Also, he got some reps on Embiid at the 5, did pretty well there. So I think maybe we can see it again tonight. And yeah, he's roaming. Everyone that's roaming don't have anyone to box out. He's just there to grab the rebounds. So yeah, I just think that's a good spot for Anunoby to gather rebounds, as we saw in the last game. If they stick to it and they won, so probably sticking to the same principles on defense, Anunoby should be up for another big rebounding game.
Yeah, a couple years ago in the playoffs, the Raptors played the Sixers, and Anunoby was matching up against Embiid very heavily. So Tibbs is kind of using that series, I guess, as a bit of a precedent. It was working pretty well there. I mean, there's only so much you can do against Joel Embiid, remind you. So, like, you can play well against Embiid, and he can still give you, you know, 35 points against you. It doesn't mean you didn't play well defensively against him. So we're going to see that matchup. So OG down low very often tonight, taking the rebounds there with Embiid on the points. Let's go to the second play here. An interesting one, let's call it. Patrick Beverley featuring for the very first time, I believe, on the Pick and Roll show. I don't believe this is the first time Andrew Nembhard has featured, though. Nonetheless, it is under 6.5 rebounds for Patrick Beverley, over 2.5 assists for Andrew Nembhard. What do you see for this one, Pips, in the Pacers and Bucks do-or-die game for Milwaukee?
Patrick Beverley last game played only 20 minutes after playing a huge 42 minutes in the overtime game. I don't see why he was playing that much. I don't see what he brings there to this team. I think he's there to defend Tyrese Haliburton. But last game, they went way more to AJ Green and Andrew Jackson. So I think looking at that, they can probably live with barely playing low minutes. I think Ajax and AJ Green played well in that game. So I think maybe they look to trim down Beverley minutes even further, but like below 30. And with those minutes, he shouldn't be even close to covering this rebounding line. First game, he had 7 rebounds, crazy bounces, got some like very far rebounds, like outside of like paint, like very long distance rebounds. Game 2, 4 rebounds. Game 3, played 42 minutes, got 2 rebounds. And the last game had only 1 rebound on 3 rebounding chances. 6.5 just seems so far off on this number. Game 1 rebound without their best rebounder. Portis was ejected. And barely got only 1 rebound. Portis is now back. He'll probably gather like 30% of the rebounds in this one. So yeah, barely shouldn't be like, should playing time should go down. Rebounding chances go down, everything like goes down. On the other side, we have Andrew Nembhard, 3, 3, 4, 9 assists so far in the series. So cover this in all 4. Last game, 9 assists on 15 potential assists. So Bucks threw up some zone and they were putting him in the middle and he was just shooting out, kicking out to wide open threes. 15 potentially assists. He led the team. Like, he had more potential assists than Haliburton and ended up in 9 assists. They put Haliburton in some spot, like more off ball, so he can catch and shoot because he's limited his own shot creation. So worked well for the Bucks. I can see them going with it again. All in all, he averaged 10 potential assists over the last 3 games. He should get 3 against this terrible Bucks defense. So I like this combination.
All right, there we go for the second play. Those are the 2 plays that we'll recap a little bit later on in today's live stream. But the next segment here, we're going to shift into the recap of the previous show's bets. And it was a 2-2 day. So even on, well, a little bit, losing a little bit on the juice there, but 2-2 record there. Very much could have been a 3-1 day. Herb Jones hits his first 3. We needed 2. He misses his next 5, and he had open opportunities. So very unfortunate on the recap here for this one. Russell Westbrook just was terrible in the game against the Mavericks for this bet. That's one of the losers. But Zubac crushes his point line. We get the winner on Jaylen Brown points and Jason Tatum under on assists. So overall, 2-2 day. Why don't we talk about, first of all, well, the Herb Jones one, he had his looks, didn't make him. On the Russell Westbrook front, what was going on for Russ in this game against the Dallas Mavericks?
Ejected.
Yeah, he got ejected, but he was doing nothing leading up to
that. Yeah, he was ejected, but like that explains what he was doing. Like, he was doing anything. Like, he was just like going out there and breaking shots and arguing with refs, arguing with Luka, arguing with everyone, and got ejected. He was 0 from 7 in 19 minutes, and he was ejected. Can't say much. Like, he makes 3 shots, and we are close, still not there. So yeah, this was god awful game. Next game he played again god awful. So I don't know what's happening with him. Yeah,
the ejection was kind of as if he was giving up on the game sort of moment there. He just seemed like he was done and just kind of wanted to get ejected from the game. Not a very good look there for Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook so far in the playoffs is shooting 28% from the field.
It's not good.
Not good, yeah. Not good is like...
yeah, that's putting it lightly. yeah, that's not very good. Nonetheless, 2-2 day. Hopefully, bouncing back. Well, it's 2-2. Let's hopefully get things back on track in what has been a very, very good start to the playoffs on the pick and roll live stream here. Let's go to last night's game as well and talk about what happened there. First of all, let's go to probably the biggest one of the night, which is the Los Angeles Lakers and their elimination in 5 games at the hands of the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray hits another game winner with under 5 seconds remaining, does it twice in a 5-game series. Unbelievably, the Lakers lose in 5 games and have a minus 11 point differential in this series. They led in double the amount of minutes that they trailed in. It's just a preposterous series. But in the end, when it came to the big moments, the Denver Nuggets came through. Jamal Murray came through in the biggest possessions. And ultimately, that's why this team is the reigning champions. They go through in 5 games. Pips, on to you. The Lakers. Bit of a weird offseason here. LeBron's future is not certain. What do you think are the next steps for this team?
I think the Lakers played for the most of the time really well.
They ran great
series from the Lakers, especially. Yeah, a great series from like LeBron played one of the best series like of the last couple of years. Like, he was great. LeBron was insane. AD played great. Not great series from D'Angelo Russell and Hachimura. Anyone else didn't do anything. Reeves was okayish, like not great, not good, like not terrible, like he was okay. So yeah, I think this series is won purely by Michael Porter Jr. Like, I think he was this deciding factor in this series. Like, he rebounded the ball well, 8 rebounds a game, 23 points a game. 23 points a game from Michael Porter Jr. shooting 55 and 50 split. Like, he shot 49% from the three, making 4 threes a game. In the series where, yeah, this is just absurd. Like, in the series won by 11 point differential, if he misses like 5 more threes, he's still shooting great from the three. Like, let's say 4 more threes. Let's say he missed 4 more threes. He's still shooting great from the three-point line, and suddenly Lakers maybe up 3-2, or like at least losing 3-2. Like, this was like, okay, Jamal Murray made the shots. Jokic played well last night, like not great as he used to, but still put the number. But Michael Porter Jr. was the guy for like every game, and yeah, I think. He hit every big shot for them. Like, whenever they needed him to just show up, he did. Especially because they were losing almost every game, coming back mostly on Michael Porter Jr. making crazy shots. Like, and everyone coming into the series, everyone was in doubt, like, what is his mental state? Like, this guy is is
no kidding.
Is him. is tough motherfucker.
His brother, one of his brothers got banned from the NBA. One of his brothers got arrested, I think put in prison for 8 years. And then Michael Porter Jr. comes out and does this. It'll oftentimes in a series like this with such skilled superstars, you know the superstars are going to show up. I mean, LeBron certainly did. AD flashes in and out. Jokic was Jokic. Murray was outstanding. But oftentimes the third best player can kind of be the separation. Michael Porter Jr. steps up and is unbelievably good in the series. Whereas on the Lakers side, nobody really stepped up. D'Angelo Russell in particular was a guy the Lakers really needed more consistently. And for the second straight playoffs, just don't really get.
Just interesting fact. Like, he averaged the same amount of points as Jamal Murray. While he was, Michael Porter Jr. averaged 23 points on 15 field goal attempts. And Jamal Murray averaged 23 points on 24 field goal attempts. Like, 9 more field goal attempts to average the same amount of points. That's ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely ridiculous. If he keeps this up, they've got a very good shot at winning the championship. Even if he doesn't keep this up, they have a good shot. But if Michael Porter Jr. is playing like this, oh my goodness, the rest of the league could be in trouble. Let's shift to, why don't we go to the Heat and Celtics game here. So there was a little bit of concern after the Celtics lost game 2 at home, relinquished their home court advantage, but they have rolled into Miami and taken care of business. 3 out of 4 of the games in this series have been just absolutely comfy wins for the Boston Celtics. Is there any way Miami Heat can send this one back to Miami and win game 5?
Very difficult, but last game, Jaylen Brown, poor game. Jason Tatum, poor game. Porzingis, injury. True. And then you go, okay, Miami could maybe win this one. Derek White, 38 points.
I think he had 22 in the second quarter alone.
Yeah. He just made 3 after 3 and made the separation. And that was it. Like, just insanity. He had it for 22 in the first half. Just insane. Like, they didn't lose the second half, but it didn't matter because Derek White took care of the business in the first half. That's the power of this Boston Celtics team. Like, Tatum don't have it, Brown don't have it. Maybe Porzingis crazy game. Maybe Derek White probably like one of the most likable guys in the league. Like, I think like everyone thinks like big of Derek White. I saw so many times that he's a better player, there, more important player on any winning team than Jaylen Brown is. Jaylen Brown is there putting numbers, okay. Derek White is just.
Derek White's winning basketball games. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. He is just like insane guy. I would love him like of any team, like any team in the league would probably like adore guy like Derek White. And he's just showing up there. Yeah. Insane game from Derek White. And he won the game. Like, if you are Spoh and you're like, okay, let's try to make the life difficult for Brown and Tatum, and you did it and it works well. And then you have a guy like Derek White showing up and scoring 38. Nothing you can do there. Like, you probably go back and play the exact same kind of defense next game and hoping that Derek White don't score like that doesn't score like 38. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. On the Porzingis side of things, Boston have the luxury of now not having to rush him back at all this series. Be nice if they could wrap it up in 5 and Porzingis can rest. Left the arena in a boot, felt though that was precautionary, had quote unquote calf tightness. That's the reason he left the game. So we'll just see on the Porzingis injury front. If he's out long term, that could have a huge effect on the Celtics' ability to go and win a championship this season. So we'll just have to see. You'll probably get some information today about that injury. Final game to discuss here. The Oklahoma City Thunder have moved on in comfortable fashion here, sweeping the New Orleans Pelicans in the first round. And we know all about the Oklahoma City Thunder, but for the New Orleans Pelicans, just kind of a shame here. This team had real potential to make a deep run in the playoffs potentially as a higher seed, but injuries near the end of the season, Zion injury in the play-in game, they slip to the 8th seed. They run into the number 1 seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. And ultimately, they fall probably earlier than they should for the second straight season. Do you see any big changes coming to New Orleans in the summer?
Yeah, they must do something about their five position, their center. Like, Valančiūnas is not the guy to start in the playoff games. Opposing teams can expose him like crazy. Exactly what happened in the series. It's difficult because Trey Murphy also didn't have the great series. He was well defended and didn't do anything, so he's not the guy. And for sure, the one guy that is not him, we had so many players saying him, and he's not him.
Sorry, he had you cut out there. Which player? The which player games. You talking about?
Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram.
He was
could have guessed that
up for in the series. Yeah, Ingram averaged 14 points without Zion in a series against Thunder. 14 points average. That's more than
very absurd. Bad.
Very, very bad. And looking at his fit with Zion, it's non-existent. Like Brandon Ingram throughout the entire series made 2 threes in 4 games. Like he doesn't provide any spacing. I saw a debate last night about who's better player, CJ or Ingram. I would say Ingram is still better, but CJ is better fit with Zion because his off ball movement and shooting, that's not even like questionable. So probably like try to move Ingram with JV or maybe some bench role players to get some big if someone becomes available. I expected them to pursue before the season pursue Miles Turner because it's an amazing fit with Zion, a shooting big that can defend. It made all the sense. I was surprised he stayed with the Pacers, and now we had Miles Turner being like better than any player on the Pelicans. I don't know if you look at his number, but Miles Turner averaged 4 and 8 shooting 50% from three. In this series against the Bucks, that's
he's not going anywhere anymore. He is not. Yeah, he is not leaving Indiana.
Like, also, teams had the chance to get him last season, but now it's not there.
For like a few seasons, yeah. Turner was kind of on the table, and it just never happened. And now Pacers are on the up. He's a great fit next to Siakam, Haliburton. But, so no, he's going nowhere.
Oh no, I think they need to move JV and Ingram. Ingram. I'll move JV. CJ works very well with Zion, in my opinion.
Definitely works well with Zion. The problem will be, you know, it's one thing to say they need floor spacing center. It's another thing actually getting one. I don't think there's a lot of value in JV. I'm not actually sure of his contract situation.
There is a lot of value in Ingram.
There is. Absolutely there is. And I think Ingram as a lead option where I guess he's got more space to play. I think Brandon Ingram, he's been all NBA level previously. 2 years ago in the playoffs, he was outstanding against the Phoenix Suns. There's clearly ability there.
This series, he played with CJ, Herb Jones, and Trey Murphy as the shooting guys out there. Great shooters.
Yeah.
He couldn't get to the rim. Like he was, and also he was locked down by Dort, who is like half his size. Very questionable.
Yeah. Definitely question marks about Brandon Ingram. But I do think that there should be a look into the Pelicans and switching things up. But but every question about, you know, building the team around Zion would become, can Zion stay healthy? Because you're building a team around Zion Williamson, and he's not playing half the games. You know, this season they did such a fantastic job of keeping him healthy throughout the regular season, as healthy as possible. Gets injured in the play-in game and completely tanks their ability to perform in the playoffs. It's unfortunate, same thing, but difficult.
Same thing like with Kawhi last couple of seasons. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You can have a good regular season and then in every playoff, every game, every minute, you are just scared of him. Like if something happens, we are fucked. And Zion will be the same.
Yeah. Looking back on the Raptors championship of 2019, it was a miracle because Kawhi played like 40 plus minutes a game the entire series or the entire playoffs. Looking back, it seems like almost impossible for that to have happened, but
yeah,
in the
and
end,
then
it did.
Also, on the other side, we had injuries, and that actually decided for most of the part, for most of the way, how easy Raptors won. So it's always the injuries, and you just can't count on someone that's out more often than not.
Yes, that's the issue overall. That's the big overarching issue for the Pelicans, 100%. All right. Anyways, that'll do it for today's show. Three good games on the way today. We will have two picks involved to try and find some winners for today's show. Bouncing back from the 2-2 day on the previous show, here are the plays that we have. First of all, in the 76ers and Knicks game, it's going to be OG Anunoby over 4.5 rebounds and Joel Embiid, 30-plus points. That's -110 odds at BetMGM. When we gave it out, also had better odds at ESPN. Check in this one if ESPN has better odds now when you're watching. When we gave it out, -120 at BetMGM was the best price. Patrick Beverley, under 6.5 rebounds. Andrew Nembhard, over 2.5 assists. And that'll do it for the show. Drop a like if you did enjoy. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel as well. Keep updating all the playoff content we have here. We may not be going live every day, so also check out our Twitter, at TheBoardHQ, for updates on when the show is going to be going live and not going to be going live. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. We hope to see you again next time.